Good afternoon. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on, what day is it? It's Tuesday, the 28th of June. Right, this is the golf one. I haven't got to the mindset one yet. Been too busy. So golf, and again, I've done both events this week, and I'll do the Scottish Open next week, and then we've got the Open Championship, one of the greatest sporting events of the year and the greatest golf event of the year by a fucking country mile. Stick your flowers and rhododendrons right up your arse. Get the admin out of the way. What admin have I got? Who knows? Thank you for testimonials. Plenty of people have sent some in there. Really good of you. That ends what in about 36 hours time. So you've got 36 hours to get either your written testimonial or your video testimonial into Dave, into Ian at ftsincome.co.uk. I'm fielding those, and there's a page on the website, ftsincome.co.uk/testimonials, which tells you what to do if you want to put one in, and a chance to win a grand. Then we'll announce that next week. And FTS Ultimate members of last year, you have got, something like 72 hours to renew at a price £100 cheaper than it will be. It'll be going up Friday or Saturday. It will be going up. Can't remember the exact time, but it'll be 7 days after it opened. And making great strides with that setup. We'll have the members area open for you in early July, and then we can get into, come on guys, this is how we do it. Lots of massive stuff planned. We're working tirelessly, I can assure you. I know it may, because it's quiet, not much going on, but where we are taking all this is awesome. I've got lots of news to announce over the coming month. Right, but let's get on with the, I'm sure there's something else, can't remember what it is. The dog's had a bit of trouble. Our dog's had a bit of trouble. She's got this heart thing. I think it's going to be a recurring thing. They have to take her, drain the heart, blah, blah, blah. She's back good as gold again now. Seems absolutely right as rain. I think the hot weather, she struggles. But the RSPCA did a puppy raid on a puppy farm, and they've got a glut of puppies. So they, in that instance, what they do is they ask people if they take them home for the day, if almost like a sort of puppy creche, like childcare, but can you have puppy care? So can you look after the puppy, and you pick it up in the morning, take it back at night, and it just means the puppy's not locked up in a cage all day in one of their kennels. And obviously, being a puppy, they've never encountered humans and other dogs, to try and interact them into sort of domestic life, if you like, rather than just, we've got you off your puppy farm, locked you in the cage. So Sam, being Sam, volunteered us for one of these. English bulldog puppy yesterday. She went and picked it up, 8:30 till about 8:30. Home here just after 9, the puppy's shat in the car. So she's taken the old Merc. The puppy is shat in the car on the way home here. Lovely, cute as you like, but it has then bounced around all over the house. Basically headbutts things. It just was leaping at you. Absolutely terrorised Izzy. So Izzy, we're just about getting her back to some sort of normality. She was a quivering wreck. Told the thing off a couple of times like they do, but it just wouldn't leave her alone. Got to about 3 o'clock where she had to be back by 5. I said to Sam, I've had enough of this now. She said, well, I've got to have it back by 5. I said, no, you've got to take it back now. It's not work, this. So she put it in the car, took it back, shat in the car on the way back to the RSPCA. So I'd cleaned it all out from the morning, and it done it again. Absolute fucking disaster, that was. Absolute disaster. Anyway, there we go. That's my life, see? That's how things go. Right, where are we? Golf, aren't we? Yes, right. What have we got this week? We have got the John Deere Classic. Obviously, with the Open Championship just around the corner. And the top players have had a run of sort of tournaments through the USPGA, through to the US Open. The John Deere sees what we would call, I guess, a pretty weak field. You can actually argue this week that LIV Golf, who have their second event in Portland, have a stronger field with the arrival of Koepka going there now. he's a salty little fucker anyway. But that situation is obviously continuing to split the golf world. The DP World Tour made their announcement on Friday last week. They have handed out sort of what I'd say interim sanctions, $100,000 fine to PGA, to DP Tour members, and banned them from a couple events, including the Scottish Open. So we'll see. No, Mickelson used to use the Scottish Open as a warm up. Won't see him there. And obviously, it affects these events. People like that are a draw to the fans going to these events. You know, but they basically sort of said if there's further. So I guess if these guys teared up this week, do they then get another penalty? Is it another fine and a few more tournaments ban? It's all getting a little bit ridiculous. And all in the means of sort of a non-competitive thing where people are making a ton of money. I just don't get it all at all. And then, of course, to top last week on the golf, old Xander managed to win. I say win very loosely. Sahith Theegala basically handed it to him, tour rookie leading, and took a nervy, nonsense, pretty much avoidable double bogey up the last. So he can stick his hand out. He's still got a squiggle for me. Walked into it, the rookie let him off. Rory McIlroy led after round one. And then played like Suggsy for the next 3 days. I mean, what a card he had on, was it day two? I think he shot level par with a quad, a double, playing like Suggsy. And then he had one hole, he didn't get the drive past the ladies' tee. And subject to ladies, the ladies' USPGA last week was probably the best golf of the week, to be fair, best event of the week. For excitement, but there we go. Yes, but Xander did win. Yes, hold my hands up. I keep saying it, blah blah blah. I'm going to keep saying it. I still think he's got a squiggle. But anyway, let's get on to this week and this weekend lineup. So we are at TPC Deer Run for the John Deere. Every time I say John Deere, Sam goes, "That's the lawnmower I drive." She drives got a drive on lawnmower over at the RSPCA John Deere. Apparently, completely and utterly irrelevant to this golf, by the way. It is 7,100 yards, 40-yard fairway, 6,000 square foot bent grass greens. I'll be honest, I'd fancy myself to get round here under par. We are looking at minus 20 and better. We've seen minus 27 win here, minus 26 win here in the last 8-9 years. It's an absolute birdie fest. Good wedge play, good putters are the order of the day. Avoid bogeys. Basically, if you make a bogey, you're going to give up on a lot of holes, two shots to the field, because over half the holes average under par. Par threes, probably as stiff a turn as they get. The rest of it is a piece of piss, to be honest. This could be a four-day putting contest sort of event I would just take over. So the top 10 in the betting, we got Webb Simpson leading the way at 16.5, tied 13th last week, disappointing last round. He shot over, shot 71, I think, you know, and when the rest of the field's shooting in the 60s, that's going to move you back. He's 93rd in putting, he's 55th in approaching the green, 88th off the tee. And even with the big boys here, obviously these stats, you know, you're going to still be in with those numbers in the top end of this field. You know, he's 92nd in birdies, a price of 16.5. I can certainly dismiss him pre-event personally. You know, again, you say every week may well win, but I couldn't get involved at that price. Adam Hadwin at 23 is next. He appeals more than Simpson, I guess, at 7 points higher, but not much. Only got one victory to his name. He was seventh last time out at the US Open, led after round one, played well, reasonable 4 weeks, to be fair, since the USPGA, through sort of USPGA, the two events in between, and the US Open. But he 108th in birdie conversion, which won't be anywhere near good enough, 76th in putting, 43rd shots gained approach. Tends to hang around a bit, so he's one that if he is up there, you know, again, it'll depend on what his price is, which will depend on who's around him. But Yeah, he can go around, but I just don't think this course personally plays to his strengths. I think more the USGA open course is a bit tougher. So I'll be surprised if he wins, to be honest. Sahith Theegala is next. As we said, so close, but yet so far, just poor decision-making. He's done it a couple of times now. He's had a decent year, got himself up there a couple of times, but I genuinely think if he doesn't make that decision, he wins the tournament. I'm going to stick my neck out and say it cost him a probable victory. Of course, we'll never know. As his game in all, you know, when I look at this week, his 25 round sort of rolling putting average is on the negative side. He always, when I sort of dug into him a bit, he's find one round where he putts poorly. So he gave up 4 shots to the field in round 4 at the Byron Nelson. He gave up 2.8 shots to the field in round 4 at the Charles Schwab. He gave 2 shots up per round at the Memorial. 2 shots per round in round 4 at in the Canadian Open. And even last week, he had gave over half a shot up to the field in round 2. It sort of repeats week on week that he'll have one round where he just doesn't putt well. And I just think that on a course that you're going to need to putt well, and you throw in the fact that of the loss last week, which will, you know, it's going to be on his mind. You know, you par down the last, you probably win it. Not a difficult hole, and he ends up taking a 6. I just couldn't play him on a putter's track this week. You know, his game's been on form. He's been playing well. Maybe one again to look at after round 1. But I just think might be a little bit scarred from all that last week, and I'm not sure he's a good enough putter to win this week. Denny McCarthy, next 30, played well in the US Open, and your eyes light up. He's 5th in putting. You think, oh, in this field, that's good. But unfortunately, for the rest of the course, it doesn't really match up. 144th in greens in reg, 122nd in birdies, 147th and a negative figure in shots gained approach, 117th proximity to hole. You know, so can see why he played well at the US Open, because tougher courses suit him better. On a birdie fest from a guy who's yet to win, I just can't see it this week. So, you know, a lot of the, I just put a line through. Charles Howe the third is 34 on the exchange. He's been around since I thought I was good, churning the dollars out, this lad. Actually know somebody went to college with him. He won over 40 million, he has, in over 600 starts, just the 3 wins. I think this price is just because he was up there early last week. He had 2 good rounds, first 2 rounds last week, before falling away with what were very average rounds of 70 and 71 round there last week. He's had 1 top 10 all year, 4 top 25s. He's 159th in putting. Personally, I'd have him double this price, minimum. Just don't get it at all. Just don't get the 34. Cue the win. No, it's not for me at all. Jason Day, 36. On the exchange, play Guess the Ailment with Jason every week. I thought a few years back this guy may dominate the game, I'll be honest, but we've had back problems, vertigo, broken eyelashes. Seems to always be something with him for a reason why he's not playing well. You know, he's probably the class player, major winner in this field. I know Webb Simpson, major winner, but Day really did look like he was going to be something. But he's 174th, in approach. And another, I just don't think. There'll either be an ailment or the course just doesn't fit for me. I just can't see him contending personally. He might be top 10, but I just can't see him contending. Maverick McNealy, again, 36 on the exchange, same price as Day. 40th in putting, 20th in birdies. So some half-decent, you know, numbers that you're looking at that you would want here, but he's straight off 2 missed cuts. He'd been playing all right before that, and this track may suit him better. So it's one, he's one that in play you may want to keep an eye on. He's one of the higher ranked in the field on bogey avoidance as well. So he's one that, you know, the golf, he's had a couple of bad weeks, but the golf course may just be to his liking, and kickstart his game again. They don't keep missing, you know, again, they don't miss cuts forevermore. So it's a bit like football teams. They don't lose week in, week out. Eventually they get something. So he might be one to keep an eye on. Patrick Rogers, I watched this guy when I went to Torrey Pines just before the COVID started. I went to Torrey Pines in 2020. I went to San Diego, and Sam and I went for a couple of days to the farmers down at Torrey Pines, And I followed this guy for a bit, followed him for like 8-9 holes, and thought he was a really good, solid player, really good. And then you look at his results and just don't tend to back up what you see. And I know they're all good players, you know, when you're watching them, but just thought he really did look pretty good. And I think this guy, it comes down to the sort of that unmeasurable quality of the 6 inches between your ears. An example, I put him up as a flyer a few weeks back, and he was got to 5 under in the first round. He had a putt to go 6 under. I was watching it, only 10-15 feet, didn't touch the hole, and it just kind of, then he started just going backwards again. He can hit it well, you know, averages over 300 yards. He's 27th in putting. He's 56 shot game total. He's got a half decent game, but he's just got a squiggle for me. This should be a track that suits him. But for me, it's a bit of a head thing personally. I think I can, until I actually see him compete and perhaps get one over the line, then I can put a line through him. Nick Hardy's next. Probably got to be the pick of the top 10 at the prices. He is, typically I didn't put his price down, bear with me. He is, I always do this, I type it out and then I don't put the price down. Nick Hardy is 42. Last four starts, 21st, 35th, 14th at the US Open, tied 8th last week, trending upwards, you know, including being in the heat of a major. He seems to have really found some form and maybe a bit of belief at the start of the year. He made one cut in 6, so his season stats aren't great because he did start the year badly, but he's sort of rolling last 10 rounds. Everything, shots, game, putting, approach around the green, it's all trending nicely upwards. And I think we could see another good week for young Nick. Just shows you this game is about confidence. I think he's got a bit of confidence, and I think he'll look at this field and think, I've got a real chance this week. Definitely one for the radar for me, Nick Hardy at 42. And then Scott Stallings, who is a player who tends to, you know, fare relatively well in weaker fields. He missed the cut of the Memorial and the US Open, but he was 13th at the Texas Open, 25th at Byron, 4th in the Charles Schwab. Up there last week, tied 8th last week. He didn't putt consistently last week. He gave up over 2 shots in round 1. He then gained 1.5 in round 2. He then gave up 1.4 in round 3, and then gained over 3.5 on the Sunday when he shot 63. His last 3 rounds last week, 64, 68, 63. So, you know, he shot 68 in the third round, giving up 1.5 putting. So he's got to take some confidence from last week. 39th in putting overall, so he's clearly got it. 68th in approach, 64th shots gained total. I think with all the bigwigs missing, he's another, him and Hardy, you know, he does appeal at 44 compared to a lot of them. So that is the top 10 of the betting, and it is the sort of 9 and 10 that appeal to me. Hardy and Stallings are the two that I, if I was backing anybody pre-event gun to me, they'd be the two I'd be backing. And certainly they appeal as people to have on the radar as traders if they start half decently. Once we get outside that, we have got player I like, Christian Bezuidenhout. Who is 48, he's not age 48, he's price 48, he's a capable golfer. Another one, you know, all these, you know, they've got patchy form. He's 12th at the Byron Nelson, missed the cut, 15th in the Charles Schwab, missed the cut, you know. So he's gone 12th missed cut, 15th missed cut, so if we keep that run going, he's nailed on for a top 20. He ranks in the top 50 in shots gained total and in putting. He's just a lot better than a lot of these as well. So if he's on his game, he does got to have a squeak. So one to just sort of put on the short list and have a look. JT Poston, 50. If he makes the cut, he's often somewhere near. He was second last week, 3rd at the Heritage, 9th at the Fargo. You know, it is either a good finish or a missed cut. And if he goes well round one, he will definitely be one I will have on the radar and probably be involved in trading. You know, as I say, should take a lot of confidence from that last week, played well. And compared to some of these, I think 50 is massive, I'll be honest, compared to some of these around him. When you look at the other prices, I look at people like Adam Schenk at 55, Doug Gim at 60. Doug Gim, you look at the guy's putter, well, I don't even know, it's, you can't even call it putting. I think he whacks it like a fucking ice hockey player. So when I look at those sort of price and see Poston at 50 after the week he had last week, I think definitely one to have a look at. And let age be no barrier, Steve Stricker at 70. Won here three times. Runner-up last week at the US Senior Open, giving Padraig a scare. Putts well. Annoyed that I missed Padraig last week. I put in the chat room that I wanted to have a bet on the US Senior Open. There's just no money at all on Betfair. And Harrington then goes on and wins. I'd put it after the round one. I just thought he was overpriced. And then he goes and wins, couldn't get on it. But Stricker followed him home last week. You know, he had a terrible illness. It's great just to see him back playing. Loves the game, works hard. And I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him up there with this week field. This week, he's, as I say, age is no barrier. He's 75 now. It's gone, his price has gone out to 75 since I wrote all this. And he is still a quality golfer compared to a lot of these, and a fantastic putter. And obviously from last week's, you know, runner-up position, he'll have a bit of confidence. So he is one that, you know, again, I wouldn't jump on pre-event, but if he gets up there, he may well trade. He's a lot better than a lot of these. Finding a flyer this week, well, in both events, really, it was harder than finding an Arsenal fan who stayed in the ground at half-time at Spurs. This is an absolute flyer. The only factor I can find, he's a guy completely out of form, but he has won nine times on tour. He does have the ability to shoot low scores. He has putted like a genius over times in his career. And if he does somehow miraculously fall into it and find it this week, he can compete. And this is very much at your own peril. Brant Snedeker at 270. Normally I look and go, yeah, I quite like that price, but this is an absolute pluck out of nowhere, that one, because he has been terrible. But if he can putt well, who knows? So that is the PGA Tour. As always, I will post any trades I have, and I'm not sure that I will this week, but if I do, they'll go in on Friday. And then over this side of the water, we have the Irish Open at Mount Juliet, par 72, 7,200 yards, cracking course, tree-lined, fast greens, good fairways. I love the Irish Open. Always, I love the Irish Open and the Scottish Open into the Open. I like the build-up to the Open, and I just think the crowds at these events add something. They appreciate the game. No surprise to see that the Irish dominate the betting. Shane Lowry's top of the market at 10.0. Genuinely, I couldn't back him with your money at that price. I've said over these pods that stateside, since we've been doing them, you know, we may have missed the boat. His game is starting to trend the wrong way in a year. He's played really well this year. And he may well, you know, a journey back home may well trigger it again. But it just started to trend the other way. He played really well without winning. And I just couldn't have him at the price. He was 23rd here last year. I certainly couldn't be getting involved at 10.0. And then next is another Irishman, Seamus Power, 16. Playing well. Decent US Open. Perhaps one that we'd want to be a few off the pace after round one, so we can look to trade him. I certainly couldn't back him pre-event at 16. All his form stateside. Didn't play here last year, so I want to see how he fares, really. You know, it's a bit of a negative when somebody's pitching up against people who've played the course and you haven't. You know, obviously you're going to have the big Irish support and this, that and the other, but he is one I'd like to see four or five back after round one and his price drift out a bit and then maybe get involved, because he's a quality player and he might well pick up from there. Thomas Peters then, 19.5, coming right back to form. Lost in a playoff last week. You know, the guy, I was a 50-foot putt, Hao Tong Lee, who I put up in the pod, you know, on the Friday. You know, I was, you know, pleased to see him win. The guy was talking of giving up. You know, it was really, really good that he led from the off with a 62, tried to make a ball ache of it on day four and then hold a 50-footer. And, you know, the European part of the pod last week, I mentioned him, mentioned Ryan Fox. You know, annoyed at Harrington missed, and the one trade that we did have in America, the few golfers I exited for a small loss. And that's a key to remember. Don't just sit, oh, hopefully they'll turn it round. You know, if it does look like it's going the wrong way, particularly if you're sort of deep into the third round, then just save your money and get in for the following week. But he played really well last week, Peters, and I think he is coming back. He's a quality player, ex-Ryder Cup player, winner. He's coming back to his best. I think he's won five or six times on this tour. And I think he's got to have a chance this week. I think he is a streaky player, and he's getting back to his best, and I think he's one you'll want to have on side. Certainly, I'd rather have him at double Shane's price, personally. Tyrrell Hatton, 21. Again, you know, it's a name thing. He's just not playing well. He's steady, but not great. He's 12th at the PGA, missed the cut in Canada, 56th in the US Open. If he's on, he can win. He's ranked second over in America on the PGA Tour in SG putting this year, which sort of tells you where the rest of his game is. I just don't think he's playing well. And I just couldn't personally back him. I certainly couldn't back him at these prices. 21. It's, you know, I do think in golf betting, certain names just get put in at the market without a lot of forethought, I'll be honest. Ryan Fox is next at 29, and that's what I mean. I look at a player playing really well at 29 and Hatton at 21. He played well last week. I expect him to play well this week, and certainly out of this top sort of lot, he appeals alongside Peters. He's third in stroke average on this tour, 12th in putts per greens in regulation. Solid stats, rock solid runner results. I mentioned it last week. Third last week, adding to sort of a cotchula top tens. I'm absolutely convinced he'll be in the mix. I just think he's a really good player and he's playing well. And he certainly appeals a lot more than others at that price. And then Aaron Ray at 29 completes the top six in the betting. So he's the same price as Fox, and he's not for me this week. I just don't think he's playing anywhere near his best, and this is the difference. See, got a guy at 29 playing really well. Guy at 29 hasn't had a top 10 in a DP Tour event or a co-sanctioned event for over a year, well over a year. And he had a sixth in the PGA Tour at Torrey Pines back in February. It's all pretty average. You know, top of his game, he is better than a lot of these, but he's not at the top of his game. And you're relying on a guy turning up at a tournament and finding that form. And I just could not bet like that. And I think you look at it, absolute standout of those top six in the betting are Peters and Fox. You know, so again, if I was getting involved pre-event, they're the two. They're two I think you could back quite confidently without thinking you're going to do your brains. You'd be able to get out during the week if they didn't particularly go great, because I don't think you're going to have a disaster on either of them. So then when we get past that six, you've got last year's winner, Lucas Herbert at 50. Playing okay, turning up at a track you won at last week, last year, always tends to motivate people. Sort of horses for courses. He's been here, done it, got it done. So 50, he's definitely one to have on the radar if he starts well. Adrian Arnaus at 48, another one playing well this season, won this season, boatload of top 10. That's what I mean. I look at him and I look at people like Aaron Ray. I just think compared to some in the field, Arnaus at 48 is too big. Roman Langask, see the old European Tour test my pronunciation, Langask, he's at 48 as well. He's had five top 10s on the bounce, Mr. Top 10, game's trending nicely, really good driver of the ball, good golfer actually, his putting tends to let him down, but solid golfer. If he can find some putts, he could may well surprise this week. You know, again, back people are on form, really on form. So I've sort of got those three that I want to keep an eye on. You know, they're my, of course the tournament may shape differently and I look at others, but they're the ones that in my eyes I want to keep an eye on. Sort of Fox and Peters in the top six in the betting, and then Langask, Arnaus and Lucas Herbert, and another flyer, as I say, I'll repeat it, easy to find an Arsenal fan who was in the stadium after half time than these flyers, but I'm going to back Mark Warren at 300 on the exchange. His SG figures for everything on a rolling average are just starting to turn upwards. He was second in Sweden in the mixed event a few weeks back. History of playing well this time of year, which is something I do look at. You know, he's got good June, July form. I know it's clutching. You'll remember he's 300. The market's given him, what, a 0.33% chance of winning. Go on, Mark, son. So the flyer, we're going with the Scots. Mark Warren at 300. That concludes it. As always, hope you enjoy it. Please do give us some feedback. This takes a massive, actually, to getting longer, particularly because I'm doing the two events a massive amount of time. I'm not going to do it if I'm wasting my time for people. So the only way I know I'm not is if it's not love me, it's feedback. If you're not using it, I am absolutely wasting my time. If you're just going to wait until I post some Trades Friday, I can just post the Trades Friday and ignore all this. But if people genuinely get some value out of this, then I don't mind sitting doing it. I've got to do the work to get to the where I want to trade anyway. But you know, obviously writing it up and recording it adds another 2-3 hours to everything. So let me know. Feedback, please, is always helpful. Don't forget your testimonials. Ultimate members, don't forget to renew. It's going to be a big year. You know, got some really good stuff coming. And I'll be back with you. I hope to get the mindset one recorded tomorrow. I will certainly get one done this week, but I hope to get it done tomorrow. It just depends how I go Excel-wise and the other bits. Have a lovely rest of your Tuesday, and I'll speak to you all soon.